Well, well, well. Welcome to Tomatley Talks, episode 45. That's a popular number. So I'm here today at Tomatley, and I am honored to have on this Tomatley Talks, by popular demand, Pastor Ray McBerry. Pastor, welcome to Tomatley.
Lynn, thank you so much for having me. What a beautiful place it is here, and a beautiful morning. God's given us a beautiful day, and I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'd rather be in heaven. But until then, I love Tomatley.
You're real close to it right here, I'm pretty sure.
I feel like it's a little piece of heaven on earth. Now, we've got the puppy's dogs here with us. Always, when I meet someone in person and they meet the dogs, I always say, well, let's see how Allie and the dogs act. Well, Allie and the dogs loved Ray McBerry, so I knew that he had passed the Allie and the puppies test. He's a good person.
Hey, I sure am glad I passed it, too, because they're big puppies.
Yeah, Allie's not, but she's the leader. She runs the show. So we got the puppies here in case they decide to start talking. You'll hear them bark.
That's right.
So we don't plan what we're going to say on Tomatley Talks. I've already warned you about that.
Yes, sir.
But I will tell you that it has been a real pleasure to meet you in person and to spend some time, not enough yet. I hope you and I have many times to talk together. Because you love Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And you speak truth. And you speak it boldly. Tell everyone, just so they know, the name of your church.
I'm the pastor of Pinnacle Baptist in Griffin, Georgia. We started the church about 9.5 years ago from ground zero, a brand new church plant. And I've got a good flock there that loves the Lord and allow me to be their pastor, and they allow me to speak truth boldly. In fact, I think they'd be disappointed if I didn't do that.
Well, you gave me a slight description of the church, and I know that it had a certain size, and then after COVID, the numbers dropped.
Yes.
And so regularly you have about how many active members now?
Well, we have about 100 members on the roll, but before the virus started, we were running about 60 on Sunday mornings. We lost some folks that never came back after the virus. We were, as far as I know, the only church in our area that never stopped having in-person services, but we did have some people that stopped coming. And unfortunately, anybody that was looking for an excuse not to be faithful, that was their easy way out. And then after the virus ridiculousness kind of settled down, we had another situation where we unfortunately had to deal with some discipline matters regarding one family in the church. And there were four other families related to them, and they decided rather than do what was right, they were just going to pick up their marbles and go somewhere else. And so we're back starting all over on Sunday mornings. We might have 30, 35 on a Sunday morning. And
so we can safely conclude that Pinnacle Baptist Church is not a mega church.
Oh, that's right. We're not a mega church. There are plenty of those around, and we don't play the contemporary music. We sing out of a hymnal, and we preach out of a King James Bible.
Well, I hope the time will come where I'll actually be able to go over and visit with you at the church. I found your sermons on Telegram, and I believe it was Tree of Knowledge. And I started listening, and I became a fan. Not a fan in the sense of, I love Joel Osteen.
I'm glad to hear that.
I became a fan of your message.
Amen.
And you preach straight out of the Word of God, King James Version, right?
Yes, sir, only.
And your sermons are true to His Word, and that's what I always listen to. I really only listen to you, and I have for years listened to Reverend Charles Stanley, Dr. Stanley.
I grew up listening to him as a boy on the radio.
Well, isn't it amazing how God works? He called him home, I think, in 2023, But his ministry is still impacting a lot of people.
Yes.
And it will for a long time. So God can take the internet, which was probably intended for bad, and he can do good with it.
He certainly is doing that.
And that's what I'm trying to do on Telegram. Telegram is a deep state social media platform, but it does allow me the space to write without limitation, and it does go overseas, so it's not limited to the United States. And so I try to talk about current events, and primarily I try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not bragging on me. Whatever I do on Telegram, whatever you do at the altar in your church, it's God at work through us. So I always give him all the praise and all the glory and all the credit. I don't want any for myself.
Well, Lynn, that's really the heart that all of us ought to have, no matter what station in life we have, no matter what job or occupation God's given to us, we all ought to have that heart. It has been surprising to me over the last, the last 6 months to a year, even to be as small of a congregation as we are at our physical campus. We have thousands of people every week that listen to our sermons and Sunday school lessons online, and I hear from people literally every week all around the country that say, "Pastor, we're just so glad that we found Pinnacle Baptist Church online, because, you know, where we are, we've looked and we can't find Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches like this."
I have had a number of people that I've met through Telegram or otherwise, and they tell me they are searching and they can't find a Bible-believing fundamental church. And they call and say, "Do you know of any?" I said, no, I don't right now, but there are not many that are existing right now.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to say that, you know, even as an independent Baptist, there are a lot of instances where I can't recommend independent Baptist churches in certain areas because they've just strayed away from the stuff too, and instead of sticking with the stuff like they ought to have, they've gotten into the contemporary music, and there's no more expository teaching and preaching the Word of God line by line, verse by verse, word by word. Everybody just wants to talk about their favorite thing to talk about instead of just teaching and preaching the Word. And I tell our folks all the time, my job is to equip you so that when the things in life that come up arise, you've got deep enough roots that whether the preacher's around or buried out back, you're going to be able to get through that just fine because of your relationship with the Lord and your knowledge of His Word.
Now let's get all the skeletons out of the closet.
All right, let's do it.
You own a television station.
I know it. Don't hold that against me. It's actually a local cable channel. We're the only TV station between Atlanta and Macon. We reach approximately 250,000 viewers, so even though we're a small company, technically we're considered a mid-sized market. The TV station just turned 21 years old a few months ago. I've been with the station since the very beginning. First 10 years, I was the sales manager at the station, and then about 11 years ago, the Lord opened a door for me to become the owner and general manager. And so, you know, I tell everybody we're what TV started out to be. We have a mixture of locally produced shows, kids in sports, high school sports, real estate, those kind of things. And then we run a lot of the older shows that we grew up watching. But there's a whole lot of politically incorrect content that gets broadcast on my television station, too. And I'm just glad that the Lord's given me a vehicle by which to get some information out to people that they're not going to see or hear otherwise.
Now, the other skeleton, you got involved in politics. You ran for governor of the state of Georgia.
I sure did, and I found out, Lynn, why good people rarely get involved in politics. That was
don't tell me they used dirty tactics and started making false accusations against you.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Well, from what I understand, you were doing pretty well. You were beating them in the debates.
Yes, sir. In the primary that year, we had four major televised debates scheduled. The first two, the media said that I was the clear winner of both of those debates, just judging from the response of the live audiences at those debates. And I was the only outsider who was not an elected career politician running for governor. All the others were Republican candidates that had been in office for many years. But after those first two debates, the other candidates who were part of the establishment said, listen, we're not going to debate anymore unless you're going to hold a straw vote at the end of the debate among the live audience members so that we can show you that Mr. McBerry's not the winner of the debates. But that backfired for them because the very next debate was the third one, and when they held the straw poll among about 400 members in the live audience, Lynn, I got more votes than every single one of the other candidates combined together. And it was the very next day that the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation ran their hit piece on me with 90 days left to go.
And I've discussed with you at length the nature of what was said about you. And I know that ultimately you had a lawsuit that was successfully resolved in your favor.
Yes, sir.
And I know that the allegations were probably 10 years old at the time.
Actually, a little bit more than that, yes.
And involved a young person that you had counseled with at the request of her parents.
Right. She was 17 at the time.
And had some tough information that she told you about. And I believe you told me you realized that you were in over your head in terms of being able to counsel someone with the nature of the problems that she had. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And when I shared that with her mother, that's when everything sort of went the other direction, and all of a sudden I was the bad guy. I guess I should have, I don't know, not shared the things that I discovered, but yeah, that's what happened.
Well, I want the listeners to know that I have had that discussion in detail with Pastor McBerry, and I'm familiar with the tactics that were employed against him. And I'll be the first to say, based on meeting you and hearing what happened to you, based on my knowledge and experience of what has happened to other people, I don't believe you did anything wrong.
I sure appreciate you saying that, Lynn.
And I'm not going to tolerate to the people that are listening to this on Telegram, do not come into my channel, my reply channel or my chat channel, and republish those old allegations against Pastor McBerry. You will be banned immediately. I don't allow propaganda. And I'm sorry it happens occasionally, but it's a good example of how evil works, and how evil will attack good. And because you share the gospel of Jesus Christ and you love America, I'm not going to ask you if you support Trump, because I know you do. You got three strikes against you. The devil's not happy. So I'd be happy if you want to say anything else about that, but I'd like to move on to something that has some substance to it, because those accusations against you were frivolous.
Well, I just want to say thank you to you, Lynn, for your friendship, and I appreciate you vetting me, you know, which is what you should do. I appreciate that. It's an amazing thing. You know, I think every newspaper, television, and radio station in my state said all the ugly things about me when all the accusations were out there, but when I won the libel suit, which took almost 3 years, not a single one of, there was only one media outlet in Georgia that told what the outcome was when I won the libel suit, and that was the TV station I owned.
Right. They don't tell you about the victory.
That's right.
They don't want you to know that they lied or they misrepresented the truth.
That's right.
Now, speaking of vetting you, I post your sermons when I can find them, and they're in a format I can get them up. But I listen to them first. I just don't see a sermon by Ray McBerry and say, oh, let's post that. I listen to it. I do the same thing with Charles Stanley. I don't post any of his teaching ministry sermons without listening to them myself and feeling comfortable that he's right there on top of the Word.
Yes, sir.
As best I can discern. And then you came out recently, and what was the name of the sermon?
Well, on Confederate Memorial Day, as we do every year at Pinnacle Baptist Church for our veterans that are buried out back in the cemetery, we have a Confederate Memorial Day service like we do on regular Memorial Day services. And the title of the message this year was Down with the Eagle and Up with the Cross.
Well, I listened to it, and I thought, whoa. He's telling me things about Abraham Lincoln I didn't know, and it's the opposite of what I thought. And then you made a comment about, well, I think Reagan would agree with me, and I thought, uh-oh. So I didn't want to post it until you and I had a chance to discuss it.
And I'm glad we had a chance to discuss it, because as disappointed as I am to have learned the things I learned about Reagan in our conversation, I sure am glad I know them now.
Well, once you show that someone is a member of Bohemian Grove,
yes,
you know enough.
That's it. That's all you need. You don't need anything
else. Reagan was a member, so was Richard Nixon. And it's probably the number one secret society, and Lord only knows what those people do out there when they get together.
Yeah.
But it's nothing good.
That's right.
But yet, the most powerful people in the world are members. So I had to break your heart about Ronald Reagan. It broke my heart when I found out. I loved Reagan.
And I had to break your heart about Mr. Lincoln.
My name is Lincoln. And if you look up Lincoln and what it means, it's Abraham Lincoln. And I always said, well, God named me Truth because I'm named after Honest Abe. And I've explained to you my belief in terms of names, and so you're either going to be like the person you're named after or you're going to be the opposite. And I thought I was like Honest Abe. And then I find out that Honest Abe's dishonest Abe. And that's okay, because that means I'm the opposite of dishonest
Abe. That's exactly right.
So I felt like I still believe that God did put the word honesty and truth in my name. It's amazing learning that our lives have been essentially a lie. And we have been manipulated and deceived and propagandized all of our life.
We sure have.
By what I would generally just describe as the ruling elite, which would be the people who are minions of Satan, who is the god of this world.
That's right.
There's your ruling elite. The explanation that you gave, I had heard most of it. I had not seen some of the quotes from Lincoln, and it was sad to learn that it appeared that Lincoln was a racist. He believed in the superiority of white man over black.
Well, he certainly believed that. I think that was probably the prevalent belief among most Americans at the time, but he certainly went a lot farther in some of the things that he said than some individuals would have said even in that day, perhaps. Some people would say he was just mimicking the beliefs of his day, but he was definitely the quintessential politician. He would have fit right in with the crowd in Washington today. He did not love America like you and I love America. He did not love the Constitution. He was not bound morally to the Constitution in his own heart, and that's why we ended up with a war. It's why we ended up with America where she is today.
And you made reference to me, and I haven't obviously had a chance to get it, but there was a book called The Real Lincoln.
Yes.
And where is that available?
You can still find it available online. I actually have a good friend that lives in North Georgia that I believe has reprints of it available on Amazon. The title of it is The Real Lincoln by Charles Minor, M-I-N-O-R. It was written by a gentleman who lived contemporary with Lincoln and knew his law partner, Herndon, and some of the other people that knew Lincoln personally. And he really lifts the veil on the truth about Lincoln that was known by those who knew him best. And so anybody that really wants to know the truth about him, you can get that book. There's also a book that came out probably about 10 years ago entitled The Same Thing, The Real Lincoln, by Thomas DiLorenzo, who was a nationally known writer and speaker. His book is full of the same kind of information, and his book's actually a larger edition than Charles Minor's from the 19th century. And he gives lots of original source material to tell the truth about Lincoln. It's eye-opening for a lot of Americans, but really, if we want to get back to our founding principles, we need to have the lies pulled back so we see clearly where we need to get back to.
Well, we're not here to bash Lincoln. People can look at the facts, learn the truth, and draw their own conclusions.
That's right.
But I think it's important what you brought out about Lincoln, because it's another example of if they can fool us about Lincoln, they can fool us about a lot of people.
You're right.
And if you're not searching for the truth and you just accept what you're told by the media, watch out.
Yes.
Because you're not getting the truth. What I did understand, I always felt like the Civil War was fought not over slavery. I viewed it more of the North wanting to maintain control of the South's agricultural product. But you clarified beautifully the fact that it was over states' rights. And Lincoln wanted the power to be in Washington, D.C. And the Southern states wanted the power to be with the states, which is what the Constitution says.
That's right.
So I would urge people to listen to that sermon with an open mind. I don't think that anyone should fairly say that it was a sermon that in any way was intended to talk about race.
No, that was not the crux of the message at all.
So I'm the opposite of Lincoln, too. If he was, as it appears, there'd be evidence to support that he was a racist. There ain't a racist bone in my body. I don't see color. I see people. And that's been true all my life. And I give all the praise and glory to God that that's who he created me to be.
Well, you know, Lynn, it's my experience that that is simply a straw man that the enemy uses to divide us and to take the attention away from what the issue should be, which is getting back to the Constitution and the Word of God. And so, they use that straw man over and over because it works.
Well, one last point about that controversial sermon. Some people took away that you didn't like the flag, and I post the photographs of Old Glory that flies over to Motley every morning.
Yes.
And I discussed with you, and you tell me if you agree, I love Old Glory because of the republic for which she stands, not because of the government in Washington, D.C., not because of the United States, the corporation, but the republic, the 50 independent republics for which she stands. And I think that anyone understands what our country was formed to be would fly that flag proudly, although not necessarily in church.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to make it clear in case anybody misunderstood. I am an extremely patriotic American. I'm a Georgian first, but I'm an American. And I don't think you can be a good American without being the kind of Christian that you ought to be. I think you ought to put God first, and then family, and then country. And Teddy Roosevelt only wrote one book, to the best of my knowledge. I've got a copy of it at home. It's entitled Fear God and Take Your Own Part. I think Teddy Roosevelt is a mixed bag. There are some things about him that I know. He was not one of the good guys.
He's a rough rider.
Right. But he, like Lincoln, sometimes used biblical things for his own agenda, his own purposes. And one of the things he said that was right is that you can't be a good American without being a good Christian. And whether he was sincere in that or not, I'll leave that for another discussion. But it is a truth that I don't think we can be the right kind of American without being the right kind of Christian and having a right relationship with God.
God transcends politics. Your relationship that matters, and one could argue the only relationship that matters in your life and earth, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. I say often that life in earth is a wisp of wind. The Bible uses the phrase a vapor. And it disturbs me. Not that I'm holier than thou, I'm not. I was as good a sinner as they come. I still am. I try not to sin now. But I'll be a sinner until I go to heaven.
That's right.
And that's why it concerns me that people are so geared to their life in earth. Get it while you can, make as much money as you can, have bigger toys, have the reputation and the power, and they'll sell their soul to the devil to get it. And they're trading off what they perceive to be good times, things of this world, that last for a wisp of wind, versus the things that really matter that are eternal.
You're exactly right, Lynn.
Have you found over the course of your time as a pastor, not necessarily in your church, but generally speaking, people don't like to believe that hell is real?
Yes, sir, you're exactly right. And, of course, all the big-name preachers, including the curly-headed preacher out in Texas, they don't want to talk about hell. The Rick Warren crowd.
You're talking about Joel Osteen? No, you don't have to say it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who the curly-haired preacher is.
Yeah, everybody at Pinnacle Baptist, I don't even say his name anymore because it turns my stomach, but I just call him the curly-headed preacher. You know, he's not doing anybody a favor by not talking about hell. First of all, I won't debate whether he is or isn't born again himself, but if he is born again and if he is a preacher, he's not doing anybody any good by not talking about hell. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth, even when they don't want to hear it, but you do it in love, but you still tell them the truth. And, you know, I don't necessarily think you have to get up and bang on the pulpit while you do it, but you got to tell people that hell is real and hell is hot and it's forever.
Eternal torment.
Yes, sir.
And once you believe that hell is real, then you give praise and thanks to God because heaven is real.
That's right.
Preachers also don't want to talk about the devil.
You're right about that.
When I was born again in August of 2018, I didn't all of a sudden look around and go, "Ha, the devil is real." But in over a course of time, in a relatively short period of time, I came to understand that the devil is real, Satan is real. And they don't want you to believe that. The devil doesn't want you to believe that.
That's what I was going to say, Lynn. The devil doesn't want people believing that he's real.
Yeah, that's why some of these newer versions of the Holy Bible took the word Lucifer out. It's only one time in the King James Version, but then it got replaced in some of the later modern translations. Lucifer doesn't want you to see his name in the Bible.
That's right.
So once you realize that and accept that the devil is real, if you got any sense, you're going to run straight to Jesus Christ.
You would hope so.
I'm still praying. We talked about this at some length last night. Thanks for listening to me ramble. I am praying for a great revival in this country and the world. I think we got two choices. I think God created everything in opposites. either this country and the world are going to have a revival back to Jesus Christ, or this country and the world are doomed in short order.
Lynn, I think you're right. And like you and I talked about yesterday, my hope and my prayer for America is that that revival is right around the corner.
I think we're in the very I think we're in the beginning parts of it, maybe even further along than we realize.
Well, I see people every day whose eyes are being opened that weren't open to the truth in a lot of areas until very recently. And it has been, it's been the most unusual experience to me, Lynn, to see how something, for example, the subject of biblical cosmology, how God created everything, to see how people, when their eyes become open to something like that, that seems totally disconnected to America and politics and revival, once their eyes become open to that truth, they are hungry for the truth, and they want to share it with other people too.
The earth is flat.
It is indeed a flat, circular plane.
I didn't get into the flat earth issue until, I don't know if it's 3 years ago. I remember, though, that I think I saw your sermons on biblical cosmology. And I saw another sermon somebody put up from a pastor, I think he's in Tennessee, and he had scripture. And I listened to it, and I looked at your stuff, and I said, well, what do you know? The earth is flat. And then if you tie in other portions of the Bible, you realize there's heaven above, earth here, and hell below.
That's right.
Although I learned a lot when you did your sermon on the outer darkness, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, that the outer darkness is the lake of fire.
Yes.
Years ago, everybody thought the earth was flat.
They sure did. And enclosed by a solid dome between earth and heaven called the firmament,
which appears in the body of the Bible in the King James Version.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, with a footnote that says the great expanse. And then versions coming after that, they took firmament out of the body of the Bible and put it in a footnote until it just didn't appear at all.
Right.
So I would urge people to go and look at the series of sermons that Pastor McBerry did on biblical cosmology, and then draw your own conclusions. People say, well, what does it matter? Whether does it matter if it's a spinning ball circling the sun, or it's flat and stable? It matters from my standpoint, because if they will lie to you about something as fundamental to this world as its shape and movement or lack thereof, they'll lie to you about anything. They'll even tell you that planes hit the buildings on 9/11.
Yes.
They'll even tell you that man walked on the moon. They'll even tell you that Trump lost in 2020.
You're exactly right. And the list goes on and on.
On and on. We won't go into 9/11. It's interesting to me that so much truth has been coming out in the last, really, 4 years. Pictures, videos of pictures where Neil Armstrong, when he went to take the first step, the light fell over. And they said, we got to do a redo. And he does it again and says, one small step for man, giant leap for mankind. It was fake.
It was all staged.
How did that all come out now? Why didn't we have those pictures years ago?
Well, the pictures were certainly around then. They were more closely guarded, I guess, than they have been.
I think that would be called, they were classified.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
President Trump said that he declassified everything.
I definitely think we can thank Mr. Trump for declassifying a lot of things. I want to say this too, Lynn, about the what's so important about us being lied to about biblical cosmology. Only someone who has looked at it for themselves, and come to their own realization that the Bible clearly teaches what you and I just described, once you come to that point, your relationship with the Lord, your personal relationship with Him, is forever changed. He is not some faraway, distant God. He is literally right above the firmament. He is personally involved in every one of our lives.
And He sees everything.
He does.
We're the grasshoppers, but when He's looking at us, He's not looking at grasshoppers. He's looking at you and me.
That's right.
Well, it's been an eye-opener for me over the years. I knew I was right when I posted on Telegram. This is all I said. I said, I'm going to weigh in on the flat earth debate. I believe every word in the Holy Bible is true, and I do not believe NASA. That's all I said.
Yes.
And 2 days later, the Mockingbird Media headline comes out, do you believe Lynn Wood or NASA? Now, did I say anything about Lynn Wood? I said, I believe the Holy Bible is true.
That's right.
The headline should have been, do you believe the Holy Bible or NASA? You'd have gotten a different response, wouldn't you?
That's exactly right.
If you make it Lynn Wood against NASA, you're going to go, oh, NASA all the way.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that headline, I went, yeah, well, I'm right. The earth is flat. People believe that we circle the sun, that there was an explosion on the sun and a piece of it came off and got caught in its gravitational pull, and so we're just flying through space circling the sun.
Yep, that's it.
There's a fundamental problem with that. God created the earth before He created the sun.
That's exactly right. You either believe the Bible or you don't.
And that's going to determine, I believe, your eternity.
That's right.
So if you don't believe Genesis 1, you're probably not going to believe Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible.
And why would you even believe John 3:16?
Or you'll pick and choose what you are comfortable with in the Bible and ignore the rest.
That's correct.
Or explain the rest away. I believe I've heard you say it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you believe that every word in the Holy Bible is true?
Absolutely. Every single word is true and pure, as the Bible says of itself. It is all the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God. And I throw the word preserved in because it's important that people understand no one has the original manuscripts anywhere. But the same power of God that was able to divinely inspire the originals is the same power that is able to divinely preserve His Word for every generation, so that we will always, in every generation, have a copy of the perfectly preserved Word of God. You can either go to the Catholic Church in Mystery Babylon for your copy of the Word of God.
That's not the Word of God.
Or you can go to the King James Bible, which was translated from manuscripts that are at odds with the Catholic manuscripts. But God has promised to preserve a copy of His Word for every generation, and you can trust it.
And God is sovereign, isn't He?
He absolutely is. He's the Creator.
He is sovereign over all things that He created, and He created all things. Have I got that right?
You've got it right.
And if God is not sovereign over His Word, and He cannot protect His Word, then He's sovereign over nobody, and He can't protect anybody.
That's right. I wouldn't want to serve that God.
So if you... I got caught up in studying the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, the book of Revelation is not the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And everything in Revelation is going to happen just like He says it. And I was struck by... I don't keep up with verses that well. I know some key, like John 3:16, Romans 8:28.
Yes.
I survived most of my days on 8:28. It says it straight up in Revelation that on His vestiture was emblazoned His name, capital The, Word of God.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God.
He is.
And in the beginning, what was there? The Word. I get a little pushback But I say it repeatedly. Jesus Christ is God.
You're exactly right.
And all the dogs that agree with that statement, please bark now.
Yes, Jesus is God. And anyone who thinks they're on their way to heaven by believing in Jesus, but they don't believe Jesus is God, they're believing in a false Jesus, because the Jesus of the Bible is God in the flesh.
Well, John said in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's it.
And then I think it's verse 11 of John 1. I could be wrong on that. It could be 14.
14.
He said, and the Word came in the flesh.
That's right. He
was made flesh. And dwelt among us in all of his glory.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is God.
He is. And another proof of that is that Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, it plainly says that Jesus created everything that there is. So if God created everything and Jesus created everything, Jesus is God.
I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and body. And I pray that others will come to that belief and that they will have that faith and they'll walk by faith and not by sight. But there's going to come a time where you're going to see him. When you leave this world, you're going to see Jesus Christ by sight. And if you didn't believe in him by faith when you were in this world, he's going to send you straight to hell.
Yes, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
And it's not going to be a mean and cruel Jesus Christ that does that. It's going to be a fair Jesus Christ that does that. He's going to judge you fairly. And you had a chance to know him. You chose not to. You chose to love the things of this world and ignore him and not have a relationship with him. So you're going to get what you deserve. God is just.
And that's the word. That's the key word. One of his attributes is justice. And we can rest assured that whatever he does, he is just. Whether our finite human minds can understand his rationale or not, he is a just God, and whatever he does will be just.
It's difficult for a finite mind to fully wrap your head around and comprehend an infinite, all-powerful God. But if you read the Bible, you know that that's who God is. But what you have to do is you have to take the Bible and believe it, read it. That's the Word. And then you proceed forward in your life in faith. People say, well, you know, they'd ask the Jesus, tell us what the Father looks like. He said, you've seen me, you've seen him. What?
That's right.
Because they were coming off the prophecy of the Old Testament that the Father would send the Son, the Messiah, to lead to everyone to the promised land. And Jesus had to fulfill that prophecy, because it was his prophecy.
That's right.
He's the prophet of all prophets. He told the prophets what to say, what was going to happen. And everything that an Old Testament prophet said came exactly true.
You're right. And that's why in John chapter 8, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. And they came back and they said, you're not even 50 years old. How did Abraham see your day? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And for those who claim falsely that Jesus never claimed to be God, he very plainly claimed to be God in that very statement. And the proof is that the Jews knew that's what he was claiming, because the very next verse says they took up stones to stone him.
Well, if there's any doubt about it in anybody's mind, read Revelation. When John sees him, and if you have a hopefully a red letter version of the King James Version where Jesus' words are in red, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Told you straight up who he is, didn't he?
That's it.
It's if you had told me, Pastor McBerry, in the summer of 2018, that I would be sitting here today on May the 7th of 2024, having a discussion with a pastor about the Bible and Jesus Christ, I would have said, you're crazy. I'm a lawyer. I don't have time for that stuff. But as I told you last night in August of 2018, he knocked me down. He humbled me. And I was reborn. And I couldn't figure out why people didn't celebrate it when I told them. I couldn't figure out why do people even treat me badly. I'm saved. Excuse me. And in the course of the year since then, I've learned exactly why. Because if you take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, you shall be persecuted. What they did to him, they'll do to me. Not because of what I've done, but I will be persecuted for his name's sake. And that's how I survive the persecutions that I've been under now, full-scale attack for at least 4.5 years. And it seems to get any worse. But I'll stand strong and I'll never put my cross down. He didn't put his cross down, did he?
No, he sure didn't. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
And if he had not done that, we were all on the road to perdition. That's perdition, right? Means destruction.
That's right. Apart from his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we couldn't know salvation.
It'd be none. We'd be eternally separated from God by the original sin.
That's right.
Well, people say don't talk about politics, don't talk about God at the dinner table, supper table. Two most important things you can talk about.
That's right. Those are the things we ought to be talking about.
I mean, who persecuted Jesus? The political and religious leaders of the day.
That's it. They're the ones trying to keep America from him today.
But they will not succeed, because his will shall be done. And he knew in the beginning, he knew the end. He knew all of mankind. He knows your life. He knew in the beginning that you and I'd be sitting here today at Tamatley talking. And he knew what we were going to say.
Isn't it an amazing thought?
An infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And he came to the earth in the flesh. Rode into Jerusalem on an ass and a colt. I don't know if you, someone said, it may not have been you, that they looked at history books and as best they could discern it, that they may have been as many as 3 million people there when he came into Jerusalem.
I have never looked into that, but that may very well be the case.
The multitudes of the people, they loved him. And it was the leaders of the church and the political structure that hated him because he threatened their power.
That's exactly right.
And they stirred the crowd into a frenzy with a lie. And the crowd got whipped up in the frenzy from the lie, and they forgot about the body of his life's work. He walked on water.
And it's the same thing.
Sight to the blind. Same thing today.
Same thing.
They'll come after you. they'll come after me and others, Donald Trump. They will come after us with lies, and they will try to whip up the people into a frenzy with the lie. And people will not look at the body of our life's work. I look at the body of Donald Trump's life's work, and wow, it's impressive. And yet they propagandized him into creating the fiction that led people to have Trump derangement syndrome. Why'd all those people write him the letters talking about how much they loved him, loved him, loved him, and then when he got into power, they hated him? He's trying to send you a message with that book, Letters to Trump. I've got my own theory on the book about our journey together. I talked to you about it last night.
Yes.
Yeah, take a look at the pictures of the people in that book and what they look like then, and then look at what they look like now. And reach your own conclusions. Do they look different? I have a lot of confidence in the body of the life's work of the United States military. Not that the military is good or bad. Obama certainly tried to destroy it. But I believe Trump tells you the truth. And I think he speaks in parables. And I think he leaves you crumbs along the way if you want to try to figure out where he's going. I think Donald Trump leads a very Christ-like life. And he keeps his promises. God keeps his promises, doesn't he? Promises made, promises kept. And he tells you repeatedly that our military was rebuilt under his administration as the finest fighting force again in the world. And he says, we got some very good generals. Not the TV generals, but we got some very good generals. If we have very good generals, we will have a very good army beneath them. If you got corrupt generals, you're going to have a corrupt army. But in the final analysis, in my view at least, if you're trying to coup a country, which is what they tried to do and to some extent succeeded under Obama, you can't do it if the person in power has the support of the military. You try to coup a country and you don't have the country's military, your coup is going to fail. If you have the country's military on your side, then your coup is going to be successful, because the power on the ground in any country is the military. So the question is, where is the military? I believe the military has been doing a lot of things that we don't know about. I know that President Trump pledged when he first took office that it would be the focus of his administration and that he would bring all the powers of his office and this country, including the military, to end human trafficking. I think he's doing it. I pray he is. And I think a lot of things have been done since 2016 that we didn't see. And things are being done now that we don't see. Tell me if I get this wrong from the Bible. Hope is based on the things we do not see, because the things that we see, we do not hope for.
You're exactly right. That's pretty much the nutshell definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. I'll just tell you, Lynn, I'm praying for revival in America every day. And I know there are still some godly people in the military. I pray there are enough of them and they're in the right places that is, in fact, what's happening. I don't have any way to know. But I do trust that our God is in control, whichever the answer is there. And we live in the most exciting time for any generation of the church since the days of the apostles. We have an opportunity in this day and time to be a witness for Christ in such a wicked, corrupt generation. And God, in his foreknowledge, He specifically chose me and you and everybody listening to this that knows him today as their Savior. He chose us to be born in this time. He has a purpose for us. And to me, that ought to be a clarion call for Christians that we shouldn't have our heads in the sand, and we ought not be timid, bashful, or ashamed. We ought to be bold in our witness for Christ.
And Apostle Paul, speak boldly.
That's right.
Because you know the authority from which you speak.
That's exactly right. And I think we're beginning to see that in Christians around America today. And as their eyes are open to spiritual truths, as I preached about a couple of weeks ago, when people have spiritual liberty, they want political liberty too. And that's what motivated many of our founding fathers, and I think that's what's motivating this current movement for liberty today in America.
Well, when you go back to the military and you go, well, I believe there's some very good generals, it's probably just a few. Because God always works with the few.
That's right.
Not the many.
That's certainly true.
Because if it was the many, people would look over and say, well, the military saved America. But if it's the few, you're going to give all the praise and the glory and the honor to Jesus Christ. You're going to know that God saved America.
That's right. And if he chooses to save America, it will be God who did the miracle. And if he says, nope, I'm not going to do it, your time of judgment is coming, then all those here who do know him, we are still going to have an opportunity to be an amazing witness for him as all that comes to a head. And I'm just excited for God to use those of us whose eyes are open, who will witness boldly for him and see what great things he'll do.
Well, I told you when I was talking to you about the sermon on the Civil War, and I believe you'll have to agree with me. It's one of those questions where there's really no option because you've already locked into God's sovereignty and he's in control of everything. It was God's plan for the North to beat the South.
I'm going to tell you, as a Southern boy, that's something that's awfully hard to swallow because I feel like I know who was right and who was wrong in that. But as you said, God in his divine providence knew he had a plan for America. He had a plan for Georgia. Every southern state, he had a plan for every northern state, and he had a plan for every man, woman, boy, or girl, and that was not part of his plan.
Nope, it was his plan for the North to win.
That we have to accept that.
Now, and he either caused the North to win, or he allowed the North to win.
Well, and I'm going to lean towards that second option. He allowed it to happen. And I'm not here to debate what the reasons were. I think he allowed it to happen, but he allowed it to happen nevertheless. He could have intervened had he chosen to. He allowed it to happen, and it's because he still has a perfect will for America and for each of us. And we find ourselves in this situation, whether it's what we would have chosen as the outcome or not. What we have is the opportunity to either serve God or not serve God. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not stop serving him because their nation was conquered by the Babylonians. They served him and witnessed of his great name right where they were in the belly of the beast when their nation was defeated. And all Americans have become slaves to Washington today. We all can still serve God wherever we are.
And they tried to throw Daniel in the lion's den.
They did. They threw him in.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they threw them into a boiling hot fire.
That's right.
Who ended up in the lion's den? The people that conspired to throw Daniel in.
That's right. It was a good ending to that story.
Well, except for the wives and the children, they got thrown in too. And they were eaten before their feet touched the ground.
What an amazing and terrifying thought.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a fourth man in the fire. It's just a great story. They came out, they didn't even smell of smoke. For the people that want to go out and attack a child of God, that want to go out and attack you or attack me, I pray for them. Because our God is the God of Daniel.
That's right.
Our God is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what he's done in the past, he is consistent. He will do in the future. So I pray for them. Those that want to throw me in the lion's den, I pray for them. Because in his time and in his way, if they do not repent, he's going to throw them in the lion's den.
That's right. And their day will be worse than the day of those that was thrown in the lion's den.
I may not see justice, at least as I perceive it, truth, in my lifetime. I pray that I will. That's the desire of my heart, for these false accusations to be resolved truthfully. And I get them in the rearview mirror because I didn't do anything wrong. If I had, I would admit it. I will not lie knowingly. I would never defraud anybody. I would never breach a contract where I made a deal. But as you know, they're trying to put a trust on all my property. They don't even have a judgment against me. They're not even a creditor. They're trying to take my property and make it their own. Now, God might allow that for his own reasons, for his own good pleasure. But for some reason, I don't think so. Because this property has the presence of God all around it.
Well, Lynn,
I don't think he's going to give it to the devil's people.
I can just tell you, I hear from a lot of folks that love you to death, and you've got a lot of them at Pinnacle Baptist Church in Griffin, Georgia, too. There are a lot of people praying.
Gosh, I wish y'all were a mega church. Think about it.
Hey, we are. We're just spread out all over the country, Lynn.
Yep.
But you've got a lot of people that are praying for you and a lot of people that love you. Don't you ever get to thinking that you're all alone in this. You've got lots of folks that love you and appreciate what you've done for the cause of liberty in America.
Well, I'm not sure what I've done. I know that I have tried to speak truth. I know that I have been an unwavering supporter of President Trump, and I know that I have reproved early on, beginning in the summer of 2020, that this was a color revolution. We were trying to take over our country. I didn't realize they already had. The average citizen doesn't feel it yet, but they will. But they have destroyed our Constitution, and they have taken away our Bill of Rights. And I think it's Freemasonry in the main.
Well, from our private conversations, you know that I agree, and from what I say from the pulpit, you know that I agree. The cabal has destroyed America. We've been transformed from the American Republic to an American empire. And I want to go back and say one more thing, if I may, Lynn, about your situation. My people hear me say this on a pretty regular basis at church. I think you can judge a man a lot more by who his enemies are than you can by who his friends are. Those friends, when troubles come, a lot of them will dissipate like cockroaches running under the refrigerator when you turn the light on.
I know that's happened.
But you can judge a man, I think, much better by who his enemies are than by who his friends are. I look at your enemies, and that tells me you must be a good guy.
Well, I've got the same enemies, in effect, as Donald Trump. That should tell you that Donald Trump's a good guy if you didn't already know it. I think you already do. God anoints and removes kings. Now, our president is not a king, but he's the leader, so he's the equivalent of a king. I believe that God has given America a lot of bad kings, so that when we finally got a good king, we would love him. I think that's Trump.
I know there are lots of Americans that the other side would have never thought would love Mr. Trump that do love Mr. Trump, and they're beside themselves with a way to explain that.
Well, they've been after him ever since he threatened their power. Before that, they loved him, loved him, loved him. Then they hated him, hated him, hated him. Watch out for the people that love you, love you, love you, because they may be very well the people that turn around and hate you, hate you, hate you. So you have to pray for discernment.
That's right.
And
attacks, like you and I have discussed, attacks, sometimes there's some good in them because they'll show you who your real friends are and who the enemies are.
And they'll be used, because, God is allowing my persecution and yours. And we know, back to good old Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes.
That's right.
So when I get up and there's another attack and there's another motion filed and I'm inundated over the next 3 months and trying to distract me and keep me tied up and trying to destroy me, I sometimes look over and think to myself, you know, why, God? I love you. And then I quickly know that I'm not here to question God. I'm not here to argue with God. I'm not here to wrestle with him. It didn't work out so good for Jacob, did it? Well, it did in the long term, but he ended up losing the use of one of his hips. But I know that my persecutions have brought me closer and closer to God. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. When I went through those attacks myself almost 15 years ago now, my relationship with the Lord grew by leaps and bounds. And there are still people today that have never heard the fact that I won the libel suit and all they heard was the ugly stuff. So I still deal with some of that on a regular basis. But what I gained in my relationship growing closer to the Lord than it had ever been, I wouldn't give that up for anything, even if I had to go through it all over again. If I got to keep my relationship with the Lord like it ended up being because of it, I'd say, that's okay, I'm ready, bring it on.
Throw me in the fire.
That's right. I'm not careful to answer thee, O King. And, our relationship with the Lord is the most important thing. And when I see you, Lynn, I see how the enemy has and continues to attack you on a regular basis. But I just want you to know you've got lots of us that love you and appreciate you and appreciate the stand that you continue to take even in the face of those seemingly insurmountable odds. The things that you are still standing firm in the midst of are things that the average person would have already folded up, gone home, and stopped standing up for what was right. Thank you for not stopping.
Well, praise God. It's not about me, it's about him. And if he's using me as an example for others, here I am, Lord. Use me. I love the song. I think it's Guy Penrod sings it. Because he lives. And I think about that every day. Because he lives, I can face today. And if he blesses me with another day tomorrow, I can face tomorrow because he lives.
That's right.
We serve a living God, and the Holy Bible is the living Word of God. I don't think about what I'm going to write on Telegram. I pray before I write. I don't always get it right. But I ask the Lord to tell me what to write, to tell me what scriptures to pick. Again, I could get off the path and put something in wrong, but I try to make sure that I've asked the Father in the name of the Son for the Holy Spirit to guide me in what I write in the scriptures I put up. And I kind of realized after a period of time that I would be describing some things that were happening to me, and I would be describing how I reacted to them, and then I could put up scripture that shows you that it is dead on the money. That the Word of God is a living Word, and it applies to our lives today just as it applied to all the lives before us.
That's right.
And to all the lives that will come after us.
You're right, Lynn. His Word has every single thing we need for today just as much as the early church 2,000 years ago. There's nothing that we're going to encounter in this life that's not found in the pages of those books exactly what we need to deal with it.
So here's a quick question, changing the subject.
All right.
the Bible says in Genesis that God created the firmament and he called it heaven, right?
That's right.
And then he created the greater light. No, not he created the earth, but he created the, at one point it says, I think day four. I could be wrong about that.
You're right, day four.
So he created
two great lights. The greater light to rule the day.
That's the sun.
And the lesser light to rule the night.
That's the moon. And then it says, and he created the stars. And then where did it say he placed them? In the firmament of heaven.
That's it.
So when you look up at the stars, and you look up at the moon, and you look at the sun, you are looking at heaven, part of heaven.
That's right.
And it's very clear in the Bible that flesh and blood cannot get to heaven.
That's right. When we pass through that firmament, we've got to have a different kind of body than the one we've got right now.
We'll have a spiritual body.
That's right.
And that's why I just look over and go, so let's see, you think man, flesh and blood, was able to walk on the moon, which is in the firmament of the heaven? You don't know the Bible. Jesus Christ lives inside of us. And our lives should be a reflection of Jesus Christ. People should be able to look at us and how we talk to people and what we do. We're not going to be perfect. But they ought to be able to see Jesus Christ in us. Do you agree?
Absolutely. That's our purpose in being here, is to glorify him.
And when we leave this earth, I believe death is one of the greatest gifts that he gives us. Death in the flesh. Because we can't be in heaven until we're dead in the flesh on earth.
That's right.
And if he is indwelled inside of you, when the time comes, however it comes, we don't know the day. I could go to bed tonight and wake up and be in heaven tomorrow. But when that time comes, he will be right there with me.
That's right. That's exactly right.
He'll be with me in the form of the Holy Spirit indwelled inside of me. And then in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be looking at him.
We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no in between.
No purgatory.
No purgatory, no waiting time.
No sleep.
That's right. Wake no soul sleep. As soon as a believer takes their last breath here, their next one is in the sight of Jesus.
And then we'll have our spiritual bodies and we'll recognize each other.
That's right.
I mean, the rich man, he recognized Lazarus and Abraham.
That's right. The disciples recognized Jesus in his resurrected body.
They saw Elijah and Moses, knew exactly who they were.
And they'd never even met them.
But they knew.
They knew who they were.
And then the rich man, who's in torment because he wants just a drop of water on his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know when that God breathed that story into the Bible. But it was at least 2,000 years ago. That rich man is still waiting for that drop of water.
He sure is.
But he remembered his brothers. And he loved his brothers. So much so that he asked Abraham to send someone to tell them.
That's right.
He said, raise someone from the dead, maybe Lazarus. He said, let Lazarus go tell them so that they don't end up where I am.
That's right.
He loved his brothers enough that he did not want them to be in hell with him. So much so that he was willing to want them to be eternally separated from him.
That's right.
And what did Abraham say? Can I go there?
That's right. And he also said, though they saw a man from the dead, they would not be converted.
If they didn't believe the prophets.
That's right.
Then they weren't going to believe a man that rose from the dead.
That's right.
That's Jesus Christ.
We're either going to believe the word of God, or no matter, even if they saw somebody walking from the dead, if they won't believe the word of God, they're not going to believe that either.
So you know from the story of Lazarus and the rich man, which is not a parable.
No, it's not.
When you're in heaven, you're going to maintain your memory. And when you're in hell, you're going to maintain your memory. I believe that in heaven, you're going to know more than you knew in earth. So you're going to maintain in hell an eternal time of unsatisfied desires. People are going to say, "Oh, Pastor McBerry, I should have listened to you. Hear me now and help me." It's too late. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, I mean, I think heaven is fire and heat. I like the way you described it in terms of the hot flames that you can't see. That was you.
In hell, yes, yep. That's right.
But we know it's going to be hot because we know the rich man's dying for a drop of water. And you're going to know that you are eternally separated from the love of your Father. And there's nothing you can do about it.
What a terrifying thought.
And then flip it on the other side. If you are in heaven, you are with your Father eternally. And you are always with His love.
That's right.
It's so simple that you sit there and you go, I can't understand why people don't understand. But you realize that that's controlled by God. And He gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, but we'll see what He wants us to see when He wants us to see it. We'll hear what He wants us to hear when He wants us to hear it.
Well, you know, Romans chapter 1 tells us the reason that He doesn't allow them to see it is because of their rebellion against Him.
They weren't chosen.
Because of their rebellion, He is not going to allow them to see. Same with the Pharisees when He spoke in parables.
Right, He said, I speak in parables because they don't understand it. And if they did understand it, then they'd be saved. Well, if America goes one world government, won't impact my life. My life's getting close to the end of a wisp of wind. But it would impact my children's lives and my grandson's life, and I hope that I have other grandsons, granddaughters too. I don't know. Only God knows. But you've got a son, and one day you may have a grandchild. And so many people around us, they have themselves, they're young, they have their children, they're young, they have grandchildren, they're young. And they have the generations to follow. And so we put it on the line. We'll fight to the death for freedom. Because freedom provides us with an opportunity to worship Jesus Christ without fear of government persecution.
That's it. And as I've said many times before in both speeches and sermons, I shudder to think what things will be like after I'm gone if you and I are not successful in restoring liberty to the Republic here.
Well, God's going to restore it or not.
Well, that's right.
We just got to help do His will.
But I think He expects us, as long as we have breath left in this body, to do our part.
He expects us to do His will.
That's right.
He says, Pastor McBerry, I want you to talk boldly about what's going on in the political world in this country. Well, I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, Lord. Pastor, are you going to obey me? Yes, Lord. I'm working on my sermon right now.
Yes.
I tell people the kind of my own little parable. I said, you know, I love Tamatley. I love Cotton Hall. I love Huspa, and I love my house in Greenview, which one day I'll sell when I'm done with lawfare in Atlanta. Praise the Lord, one day that'll happen. I said, well, if God takes it all away, because I understand how Job felt. And Job, when he lost everything, he ran his head and fell on his knees, and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, if God looks over and I hear his voice, and he says, Lynn, I want you to pitch a tent and take your dogs and go live in the tent, I would argue with him. I would say, Lord, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I don't mind living in the tent, but don't make my dogs live in the tent. He'd say, Lynn, are you going to obey me? Lynn, why are you walking away from me? Lord, I'm on the way to get the tent and the dogs. Does that story make sense?
Yeah, that story makes sense. By the way, your dogs aren't going anywhere. Wherever you go, that's where they're going.
Well, they don't leave me alone.
No, they follow you everywhere you go.
Well, I love them. Even though sometimes dogs are more trouble than children. But they sure do treat me a lot better than my children do.
They love you, I can tell.
And I love them. They're God's creations. Pastor, I hope that you will come back again, and hopefully more than one time, but regularly come to Motley. As long as I've still got temporary custody of it, my home is your home. You come here anytime. And if there's ever anything I can do to promote your ministry, I'm always a phone call away.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I just appreciate you putting the links out there for folks to be able to hear the messages from Pinnacle Baptist. And, you know, if folks saw, if they don't want to listen, that's okay. But I know there are a lot of folks that are hungry for a church that's still teaching and preaching unashamedly. And so we've met a lot of folks because of you, and I'm grateful for that. And
well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
What's that?
Because of God.
I know that, and that's the right thing for you to say.
And I'm not God.
Well, that's the right thing for you to say, but God uses men. That's God's plan, is to use men. And
and women, we all always make sure.
That's right. People say,
you left out the women. No, I did.
Well, I'm very old-fashioned, so when I say man, I mean mankind. I mean men and women. I used this statement in a speech several years ago. Men will follow their principles to the battlefield, but it takes men to lead them across the field. And I believe that. And that's God's plan. God's plan is for men and women to be the leaders. God uses men and women. That's how he chooses to do it.
Well, since we're unscripted, I'll throw you one last curveball. Well, let me ask you this first. Is there anything else that you wanted to say or any message today that you wanted to point that you wanted to make that we didn't cover?
No, sir. I have loved visiting here. It's such a wonderful, beautiful place. I'm looking forward to coming back in July.
Right. I forgot to promote July 20th, the Fight Back Rally.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
And Pastor McBerry's going to be there.
This will be my first one to get
there. There's no telling what he's going to say. He said, Lynn, what do you want me to talk about? I said, whatever the God tells you to. How much time do you want me to take? Well, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever you feel comfortable with. You do it your way. You don't come there to tell my message. You come there to tell the people your message. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to be looking forward to having the opportunity to come meet you in the flesh. I know that I have wanted to have that happen, and we made it happen when you got here yesterday, and it's been a blessing.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know there are a lot of folks that I have corresponded back and forth with that have emailed me over the months, and I've never had a chance to meet them in person, and so I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of them too.
Well, then here's your curveball, which is really a fastball right down the middle of the plate, which you'll probably knock out of the park. But if you don't mind, would you end this episode of To Motley Talks, episode 45, with a word of prayer.
I'll be honored to. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for, Lord, the gift of salvation, and Lord, also here in America, for the gift of the republic that you gave us, where our fathers and our mothers for generations have had the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, in complete freedom. Dear God, we know that our country is under attack. We know they would love nothing more than to destroy America because they want to stamp out the message of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to raise up men and women all across this land who love you. And Lord, those whose eyes are not yet open to things that are going on around us, Lord, please open their eyes. Please use us as the tools to do it. Help us to be the men and women that you choose to use, Lord, to lead our country back in the way we should go. Lord, we do not pretend to know your will for America's future, but we know that your desire is for us to be faithful, and that's what we wish to be. I pray that you'd bless Lynn. Lord, thank you for his faithfulness to you. I pray he will have the courage and the faith to continue to stand strong. Lord, help him in these difficult battles in which he is currently enjoined with the enemy. Oh, dear God, I pray that you would let him never wonder whether he's in the battle alone. Remind him every day that you're in the battle with him. And Lord, remind him that he has men and women across America who love him and appreciate him. And Father, I just pray you'd hold up his arms just as Aaron and Hur did, Lord, in the battle. And Father, I just pray that you'd strengthen him, give him whatever it is he needs, Lord, to continue to fight the good fight. And thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to have this opportunity to talk together today. I pray it would be an encouragement to those that listen afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Once again, Pastor McBerry, thank you for coming and visiting me at Tamale and for participating in Tamale Talks, episode 45. So that wraps up this episode. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for listening. And God bless the United States of America. Bye-bye.